The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you're not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH, I'm Andy, your host. And today, I'm delighted to welcome back my good friend Scorpio for our Perfect Operations show. So let's bring him up right now. Scorpio, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am. And how are you, Andy?
Yeah, good, thank you. Yeah, I just ran over to get something in the from the other room, and I went to open the door and the handle came off while the opening music was playing, which is a bit strange. So I'll look at that afterwards. But apart from that, which is what I'm a bit out of breath.
Well, that's symbolic about what's happening in our world today, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I'm in this, I'm in this temporary accommodation, but obviously there's some problem with it. So, I'll have to jam some matchstick bits in there and try and screw it back on. But anyway, enough about my problems. We're going to talk about a few different things today. We've been having a good chat before the show, folks. Unfortunately, Giuseppe is unable to join us today, but he is looking to come back for our show next month. And of course, we'll get into the shows that Giuseppe and Scorpio do later on in the show. But I do have in the post for the Perfect Operation a very extensive link of where you can, a set of links of where you can listen to them live, watch them live, download archives, etc., etc. And so you can get a real interactive experience there because they do video. And also, of course, you've got the ability to call in because it's a live show on some of their shows, certainly, and they all go live. But I know you sometimes you don't take callers if you know you're busy with a guest, but generally you do. What would you say, Scorpio, with callers?
Well, it just depends. If I have more than one guest on, oftentimes we don't, but I do like to take callers because you never know where the conversation will go. I like sort of the randomness of that. You never know who's going to call in or what they're going to say. So I do like the randomness of, and I like to hear from listeners what their take is on things, because there's a lot of intelligent and insightful people that take the time to listen, which I'm very thankful for.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, I enjoy your shows anyway. And it's great to have something, good to listen to at the weekend to go along with, Farron Schoaf, and I know Robert Ravolt, he's on the weekend, but I pick him up on Monday mornings, because of the time difference. But so I always kick off my week with him and Paul Edward Stevenson on Last Man Standing and Steve Elkins as well. But we've been having a chat before the show about this Russia business, and I think people were talking about, there's some meme out there about how, Russia stopped the COVID narrative in like 20 minutes, and all the mandates are coming down and things like that. So there's, what really is going on here is the question in a lot of people's minds. And I came up with something conspiratorial in the pre-show chat with Scorpio. And it is that we know pretty much the majority of doctors in the independent media. Some of them, they have their different views on what this vaccine's going to do. Some of them are really doom and gloom and it's going to kill people within 3 years. Other doctors are saying it's going to, it damages the immune system. But the consensus really is on it damaging the immune system in some way, shape or form. And I just wonder, the fact that it stops so abruptly, it's clearly linked somehow, this with the Ukraine conflict, that the mandates are all being pulled all around the world, and they're not even really talking about it much in the media anymore. It seems to have really gone away at this stage. And putting my tinfoil hat on, could it be that there's something in the vaccine that is going to react with something that's going to be allegedly released by Russia as part of a war against the West, that will then cause people to die or what have you, who have taken the shot? I've got absolutely no medical evidence or anything of that. I'm just trying to think outside the box and trying to work out, you know, why they so aggressively push people to have these shots. And they're not vaccines. They even had to change the dictionary definition of vaccines to justify them being called vaccines, but they're not. So they were put into people for another reason. They wanted to get them into as many people as possible. And have they got to the stage, right, we've got them in enough people, now we move on to stage two, and that's this business here. I think that that could be the situation. Scorpio, what are your views on that, and anything you'd like to expand on in relation to that?
Well, that's a fascinating possibility there. You could very well be right. Well, you know, in some ways, Andy, Vladimir Putin deserves a Nobel Peace Prize because he single-handedly, you know, cured COVID, you know, well, pretty much overnight. I'm just struck by the abrupt change in narratives here that is just hard to explain away as, you know, some kind of coincidence. What we had over, 2 years of, well, you're going to die if you don't take the vaccine. Oh, my God, you know, this is the deadliest disease that's ever faced mankind, you know? And now it's sort of like, it's just turned into like, well, you know, hey guys, it's a bad case of the sniffles. Learn to deal with it. No big deal, you know, move on, carry on. And, you know, now, we have this sort of the WWF supervillain on the world stage here, you know, Vlad the Impaler Putin. And, I just find it odd, the timing of this, because this conflict in with, you know, the two breakaway republics in Ukraine has been going on for 8 years, and Ukraine wasn't anywhere close to actually becoming a member of NATO, which is an insane proposition to begin with. I mean, why Ukraine would ever become part of NATO makes no sense. In fact, NATO really doesn't even have a purpose to exist. Well, now they do, now that they have this grand conflict happening. But before that, you know, NATO really, for all intents and purposes, was really an archaic organization that was a, you know, a solution looking for a problem, you know, ever since the fall of the Soviet Union. So there's so many things that aren't fitting together here for me. More questions than answers, Andy. And, you know, now here in the States, we're already in California, we're at $6 gas all of a sudden. $6 gas, that's what it's jumped over, you know, about $2 just in the last couple of months. But then they're trying to equate all of this with Russia and the Ukraine business when gas has been skyrocketing for several months. So I don't know, Andy, there's just a lot of things that aren't adding up for me personally here about what's going on.
It's interesting because this is something I've wanted to do for quite a while, and you finally prompted me to do it. In the UK and pretty much in Europe, we used to, years ago, you buy your fuel, you call it gas, we call it petrol, by the gallon. And then when we went into Europe and all that, it had to be by the litre. And it's not quite as simple as that, because a gallon and a US gallon are different for some reason. But I've just typed into Google what a US liquid gallon equals in litres, and it equals 3.785 litres, apparently. So if we round it up, so, you know, a litre's four times a gallon, a litre's one quarter of a gallon, make it. So 4 litres equal 1 gallon. Let's just do that sort of to give a rough figure. We've gone up to About £1.75 a litre. So 4.75 is the 3.7. So that would be £7 a gallon in the UK. And if we do the £7 in US dollars, and that would be $9.22 is what we pay for a gallon in the UK. So we've always paid more than America. And we've always told because, you know, you drilled a lot of oil over in America. So, of course, you had less transport costs, you know, to get it over to the UK and things like that. But it looks like we're sort of paying about an extra half as much as you are for fuel. And that's probably something I think it's but I think that we used to pay a lot more than you did. So I think over the recent years that they've definitely been pushing you up and up and accelerating it in America because they always thought that fuel was too cheap there. And we also know with all the you know, green energy people and all this nonsense about they have to keep this area and that area. I think that there was something like a postage stamp size, something in America that you could, you've got enough fuel to last you for hundreds of years. Have you heard that, Scorpio? Back to you.
Oh, yes, yes. I think there's, well, first of all, I think there's a lot of credence in this idea of abiotic oil, which is that, you know, that oil is being produced. Yeah, and so it's not, first of all, it's not nearly as, I guess the bottom line, not nearly as rare as they want us to think it is. And so you've got that in the background. And the other thing is that, you know, because oil and gas wells will replenish themselves, you know, like that wells that have gone dry, they'll suddenly replenish themselves somehow. So, and, you know, the idea that, that petroleum is, you know, because of their, the, all these fossilized or no dinosaurs that, that died and somehow magically turned into oil over the millennia. I still, there's no credence in that. John D. Rockefeller came up with that goofy theory to make on purpose to make it seem like, you know, gas is much more rare than it is. And the other thing that's going on here is, you know, the Russians dug the deepest gas wells in the world and they've tapped into a very deep source and that could actually be, you know, imitated all over the world. But they don't want that to happen because they're hell bent on getting us to go green, which is really a colossal fraud. That really deserves a show in itself sometime because green energy is such a colossal fraud. And the numbers, if you just look at it, the numbers aren't going to add up. There's no way you can power major cities, with, windmills and solar panels. It's simply not possible to do unless the population is much, much smaller than it possibly could work. That's the thing. The green energy and the depopulation agenda are intertwined because otherwise the numbers don't work. And, you know, miraculously somehow, you know, nuclear power is considered green energy now, Andy. So that's another strange thing.
Yeah, sorry, I was just making a note of that, how green energy and the depopulation agenda are intertwined. That's very important. Yeah, I think it's very interesting. And what you just said, it reminded me of Tex Mars came to mind, and he said something on one of his shows years ago about how, you know, there've been wells in America and they've been dry and then they'd open them up 20 years later and they were full again. And I completely go along with the abiotic oil theory. I think that that's not a theory. I think that that's what it is. I think all this business about it being, you know, fossils from dinosaurs, it's just another excuse to say it's limited and therefore they can charge you a higher price for it. These people lie about everything. It's similar to the when I was able to recently get clarification, because Pastor Bob Jones used to talk a lot about diamonds, that they're kept artificially scarce, and if they were actually released onto the market in accordance with their natural supply, then you could give them away for the same price as a dozen red roses. But they make them artificially scarce so they can charge more. And Dr. Peter Hammond got into that topic and he had all sorts of information that completely backed that up. And I think that they do the same with things like oil and energy, because they want to make as much money for themselves, and also they want to do, you know, to restrict us on so many levels. And I think that the problem that they're having now, and this is why in the alternative media we have to be ready, and I say this to in the independent media, I'm sorry, I prefer the independent media, we have to be ready for a day that could well come in the very near future where we are at war with Russia. And that's the United States could be at war. What you just said there about, you know, Poland giving the Ukraine some of their old planes and flying them out of Germany. Well, you know, that doesn't mean that Russia will attack Poland and Germany. That means that all of Europe is open to them, because they'd be attacking Europe on the basis that Poland, Germany, they're all NATO. So all NATO countries in Europe will be at risk. They won't just say, oh, well, Poland sent the planes and Germany flew them, because we're all one big group. We don't want to be, but we've been put in that big group. And what I'm getting at is that back in the Second World War, we talked about this before the show, there was Regulation 18B. And for those of you who've gone into these sort of topics and read a lot of books like I have, Captain Archibald Moll Ramsay, who wrote The Nameless War, which is probably one of the top books I would recommend for people to read. It's brilliant because it's only about 100 pages. And he's got like a chapter on the French Revolution, the British Revolution, World War II. And, you know, it'll sum up the French Revolution for you in sort of 8 pages. So it's a very quick and easy book to read. And he was a Conservative Member of Parliament. So, for example, Theresa May, who we all know was the Prime Minister before Boris Johnson, and she stepped down, very unpopular. Boris Johnson won the vote, became the Prime Minister. Well, they're both Conservative Members of Parliament, and she's now just a standard backbench Conservative Member of Parliament, like Captain Archibald Moll Ramsay was. And the Conservatives were in power. The Prime Minister at the time, as we know, was Winston Churchill. Yet, because he'd spoken sympathetically about Germany and pointed out what was really going on, and this was another bankers' war, for the duration of the Second World War, he was jailed under this Regulation 18B, that, you know, these people, we can't have people, you know, speaking up for our enemy. We're at war with these people, so we have to lock anyone who sympathises with them up. And so all of you out there in the independent media, you need to bear that in mind, that this could be part of their plan of silencing people. And the interesting thing about Captain Archibald Moll Ramsay is that when the war was over, he was let out of prison. He took a taxi in London from his prison to the House of Commons, which is like your Senate, and he resumed his seat after he'd been in prison for years. He just went straight from prison to back to the House of Commons. He was still down as a Member of Parliament, even though he was in prison. So if they can do that to their own people, then they'll do that to anybody. And we know that since the Second World War, the censorship and all this has got far greater. And so I would just be a cautionary to people in the independent media. If you get too far on board the side that we could potentially be fighting against, it's probably best, whatever your views, to present a balanced case for your own protection. That's just me speaking here. But what are your thoughts on that, Scorpio? And I know you've read The Nameless War as well. Your thoughts on that too?
Well, yeah, that is a great book. It's an excellent book. I highly recommend it as well. Well, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, yeah, we're seeing sort of how they orchestrate a war here in real time during our lives. And this is exactly the same method by which they did World War I and World War II. And one of the things is all these entangling alliances, you know, that make it so incredibly dangerous. What really, you know, it really does make a lot of sense to sort of for countries to stay neutral in these conflicts. You know, really, if people would just say, well, look, hey, Russia and Ukraine have been intertwined for so long, let's let them work it out, and we wish them both well, and we'll see what happens. Then suddenly this isn't a big deal, right? But now that we've got this NATO alliance, which attack on one is an attack on all, you know, and this is exactly how they got World War I started, You know, and the reasons for World War One, when you look at it, really don't make any sense at all, do they? I mean, what, the Archduke Ferdinand was assassinated, therefore we're going to have a world war? Really? That doesn't make any sense at all. And you've got these alliances that are just built up, I believe, you know, so that when they pull the trigger, oh, voila, we have a world war. And, you know, speaking of jailing, you know, politicians and stuff, you know, Woodrow Wilson actually jailed people in the media. He jailed all kinds of people that were resistant to America joining the war. There was really no popular support whatsoever for America to get in the, as they call it, the European war there. There's no reason for it. And of course, Wilson had campaigned on promising the American people that we would not get involved in that European conflict. And then, of course, when his masters told him to, we were joined in the fray as well. So, you know, Andy, I'm just really seeing, it's interesting just to sort of sit back and watch as to how they orchestrate a war, a large conflict, and the reverberations of it are getting bigger and bigger with, you know, I guess Europe is, and America now, are pretty much doing an all-out embargo on all things Russian. I'm not sure if Europe has done it. I think they have, but America announced last night that basically, or yesterday, that they're going to have an embargo on all Russian products, not just gas and oil. And, you know, Russia produces a lot of fertilizer, which goes into this sort of depopulation agenda. If you don't have fertilizer, you're not going to have the same volume of food produced. And then Russia produces a lot of exotic metals like rhodium and some of these exotic metals that are used in making catalytic converters and parts in cars. So the implications of simply stopping all trade with Russia are absolutely huge. And Russia produces something around 25% of all the world's gas and oil. So it becomes clear to me that they're not really working for America. Joe Biden is not really working for the interests of America by doing this. We're sort of cutting off our nose to spite our face, as the old saying goes. But I believe this is done on purpose because it all fits together with the idea that we have to have a great reset and breaking down the supply chain and creating such inflation that you're going to wipe out huge swaths of the middle class. And of course, when you inflate the price of fuel, you're automatically inflating the price of absolutely everything, because everything has to be, you know, obviously transported. So the implications of this, Andy, are really huge. And if you look at it from a conspiratorial standpoint, this conflict has to be bigger than COVID, or they wouldn't have dropped, you know, COVID like a hot potato and just simply moved on. I think there's another reason why they may have done that, which is you've got all these exotic diseases. If you look at that list of diseases that this vaccine seems to possibly induce in people, and like you said, it's not really a vaccine. They changed the definition of vaccine, but we're going to see a lot of very strange conditions happen. I believe this is going to happen slowly over a period of time. This is, you know, they always play the long game. So I think we're going to see, you know, a shortening of people's lives and a whole new round of strange exotic diseases that are going to sort of start to take people out, but it's going to happen gradually. So we're under the new narrative, which is the war. And it's just fascinating to see it all happen in real time, Andy.
It is, and I'm really enjoying this conversation, Scorpio, because what I'm trying to do is not to talk about what they're talking about in the mainstream media, because they've got us in such a situation now that we simply cannot trust anything that they're saying, you know. And it's of their own making. They lied about these vaccines aggressively, refusing to report all the deaths and the injuries that they've caused, and they just cannot be trusted. And even so far in the, what was that business with Snake Island, and apparently all these people were killed and they're actually all alive and well and stuff like that. That's even coming out already, and the thing's only been going a couple of weeks. But what we can do is to use our experience of studying these evil elite group, whatever you want to call them, powers that should not be, whatever. And as you say, you just hit the nail on the head, because the fact that they've just let that COVID narrative go completely, and now everything is Russia, 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 Ukraine, all this sort of stuff, and the lengths that they go to. We had in the House of Commons yesterday in the British Parliament, they had a video feed where Zelensky, the Ukrainian president, was basically beamed in on a video feed, and they all stood up and they're all giving him applause and all this. This has never happened. They've never put something like that in there. And there's this real, real push. And so we have to look from a distance, and the possibilities out there. I played a couple of times this week that clip of that lady. Well, it's on BitChute, but it's a TikTok video originally. You probably heard it already. She's talking about Nathaniel Rothschild saying that we need to up our attacks on Russia, because if we lose the Ukraine, we're basically, that's a big key in our global liberal order. And if we lose that, then we could lose everything. Are you familiar with that video, Scorpio?
No, I haven't seen that, but it does, that makes sense in some ways, because Ukraine has sort of become a playground for all kinds of nefarious activities, you know. And there's also this idea of Israel 2.0 being part of the mix here, you know, because if you look at the ancient borders of Khazaria, they, and you overlap them on top of modern-day Ukraine, they're almost identical. So you have to ask yourself, well, what's going on here? Why is that the case? Maybe you could explain a little deeper. Why is it so important to Nathaniel Rothschild? What would happen if they lose Ukraine?
Well, I think it's worth putting it in the... we'll play it, because it's only just over a minute. I played it on Monday's show with Maleficus, and I played it on another show I did this week as well. It's on Before It's News at the moment. Well, now we're recording this Wednesday afternoon, folks. The link to this is I'll put it in this show post as well. Let's just go down to the comments quickly, see what they're up to. No, there's nothing. No, nothing there. Just some garbage, really. That's from Before It's News, and as I play this, it's number. It doesn't say the number here, it says, but it's in the top 50 anyway. But I'll play it off here and have a listen to this, folks.
Okay, guys, so maybe some things that people are not, like, privy to of what's going on. So the heir to the Rothschild family, Nathaniel Rothschild, today wrote to the members of the British government giving his view that Vladimir Putin is the most dangerous man since the defeat of Hitler and Xi Jinping, close second, and explained that Ukraine is an essential piece that we cannot afford to lose in this geopolitical chessboard. Really? There's more. Hold up. We must bring Russia to its knees through any means possible to send a strong signal to the Chinese and to protect our global system of norms and liberal values. Oh, really? There's more. So you can read this next paragraph right there. But the bottom, Putin effect. Our current path of lack of military action means that our global order is dead on its feet. I urge you to deploy more force against Russia and its proxies, step up information warfare, to correct opinion, especially online, and send weaponry to our friends in Ukraine. Without Ukraine, the global order may not survive. Do you smell panic? Panic mode. And the rest of them, Soros, Obamas, Clintons, Bidens, the list is long as my arm. Panic, panic, panic. Boom.
So there you go, Scorpio. It's be very interested, if you haven't heard this before, to hear your comments. Please go ahead.
Well, I don't know that I would use the word panic. I think the global order would survive okay without Ukraine. I think what I see is that they need to have this become a really important conflict, because they want to expand this out into sort of a World War II style conflict, because nothing is more effective in sort of forming people's minds, changing the whole character of the mind of an individual within a country than war. It's their most effective tool. And I think they realize that they've taken, you know, all the juice they can out of COVID for now. People are just sort of getting tired of it. I think a lot of people in Normieville, the normies in Normieville, were getting sort of tired of putting their entire lives on hold for a bad case of the sniffles, essentially. And so now we're on to war. I just don't see why this would panic the Rothschilds, frankly. I mean, I think we're at a point where these people own pretty much everything. I think it's clear from both from COVID and from this war, excuse me, that the ownership of the means of production and all the most important elements to keep the system running are in far fewer hands than we've been told. So, because we've never seen the entire world dance to the same tune quite as well as we have with COVID, have we? I mean, the entire world danced to the same tune, and now they're trying to get us all dance to the same tune over Ukraine. Really, we should just let Russia and Ukraine work this out and see where it goes. But instead, we've got these entangling alignments that are making things very difficult. And I think we're going to see this is going to have huge reverberations on our civilization, both in the cost of oil and gas and other products. I think we're going to see a deliberate slowing down of the world economy. And at the same time, you're going to see massive inflation. I mean, in the United States, I don't know what's happening there in England. We're having massive inflation here. I mean, much, much higher. They say it's 5%. It's much more. I put it at, just from my, at about 20% inflation in the United States right now, maybe even higher, 25%. And it's going to go above that once these gas prices get up to $8 or $9 a gallon, which is coming. Because I believe this is going to, again, this is going to be one of these conflicts that's going to go on for years. And so I think this is going to be a really big deal, much bigger than it is now. And I think they want this to become a sort of a world conflict, a sort of a derivation of World War III. This could possibly even go into a World War III scenario if China decides to take Taiwan, which I think is inevitable. I heard an interview with the ambassador from China on one of these, lying mainstream media channels that I call the enemy war transmissions. But it was a very interesting interview because the Chinese ambassador said that the very foundation of America-China relations is based on the One China policy. So in other words, the One China policy is the most important aspect to Chinese-American relations. And I don't think he would have said that if they intended just to let Taiwan go its own way. It's only a matter of time before the Chinese make this move. And in some ways, it makes sense for them to make a move on Taiwan now or soon, as the whole world is sort of tangled up in this Ukraine situation, which really, it's none of our business. Russia and Ukraine have been, part of each other. Let's say Ukraine's been part of Russia for a very long time. Let's let them work it out on their own. And then suddenly, all of a sudden, magically, it's not a big deal anymore. But we're supposed to be caught up in all this emotion, and that's why we're seeing this constant footage of, you know, crying women and children and babies being born in subway stations. And isn't it interesting how there wasn't one word of this sort of talk for the last 20 years when we essentially carpet bombed Baghdad, you know, and used smart bombs everywhere. No mention of all the you know, suffering and casualties that were caused to civilians. Same in Libya, same in Syria, when they, you know, when they bombed Serbia. I mean, you know, this is, the list goes on. Suddenly there's no human suffering when the West enacts one of these wars. But when Russia does it, all of a sudden now we're just seeing the heartache and the tears and the women crying, which is legitimate. But it's just funny how they can sort of change the narrative depending on what side of the war they want us to look at. And yeah, you know, I saw this footage you were talking about of, you know, Zelensky going to being beamed in live to all the congressmen too. And suddenly now, you know, we're all brothers with the Ukrainians, you know. And I noticed, you know, I was up in Los Angeles over the weekend, and they had someone had been putting, you know, these ribbons of, you know, blue and yellow ribbons, Ukrainian style ribbons, around the trees all over Los Angeles. And I even saw, you know, these large billboards, these electronic billboards on the side of the freeway saying, "We stand with Ukraine." And there's another billboard. There's already a foundation set up to, you know, bring aid and help to the needy Ukrainians. So, you know, they're able to set up a foundation in like, what, 11 days, 12 days. It's just amazing, you know, how quickly they can sort of orchestrate these movements that we're all supposed to become very emotionally attached to. And we're seeing, you know, this wartime propaganda being amped up to 11, let's say, you know. So the whole thing's very suspicious on many, many levels, Andy.
Yeah, reminds me a bit of how they managed to get all these you know, plastic shields built around checkouts in supermarkets throughout the world straight away as they talked about COVID and have all these different signs on the floor telling people to socially distance. That seemed to go up like overnight. You know, you'd think that they'd have to wait a while to get them all custom made for the various things, but they're all ready, which is very interesting, that, wasn't it? Did you find the same in America? You were in Ecuador at the time, but...
Yeah, no, that's a great point, Andy. You're so right. That's a very good analogy. It's exactly, and yes, I was in South America and Ecuador at the time when this all started. And yeah, the same thing happened there. All of a sudden, there's these plastic shields up everywhere that, yeah, where did they make all these? You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, everybody's wearing a mask and there's these little signs everywhere to stay 6 feet apart or else you're going to die. Yeah, it's just amazing to see the entire world dance to the same tune. Now we're dancing to the tune of the Ukrainian victim dance and how bad the Russians are. And, you know, again, this really shows that the ownership of not only the media, but, you know, all these means of production are in far fewer hands than we've been told, Andy. And yeah, where do they make all these plastic shields and how do they get them out all over the world? Literally in a matter of a month. It's just amazing. Then by the same token, they can just turn the whole thing off with a flick of a switch. And now we're on to a new thing. You know, COVID was a passé, you know, that was yesterday. Today it's Russia. And we're supposed to just dance along and believe this is all real and not see that there's sort of a hidden hand that's running these grand events that we're all supposed to react to with great emotion. Emotion is the key here, because with COVID, obviously it was fear, and now they're pushing the crying women and the babies being born in the subway station. And Andy, I just have to wonder, how long will it be before you know, the Russians are throwing incubator babies on the floor?
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting they keep talking about all these poor babies and what have you, because I've got this, this is censor.news, which is a great aggregate website. I don't go to many websites. I go to rents.com. I'm talking all to independent media now. I go to beforeitsnews.com, censored.news, dailystormer.su, and rents.com on a daily basis, see what they've got up there. On the censored.news, it aggregates all these different websites. So, you know, if I work my way down, you've got Epoch Times, Natural News, LifeSite, InfoWars, Blacklisted News, The Expose, News Target, etc. And there's loads of them. So you can work your way down. And they're basically taking the top sort of 6-7 stories from each of those sites. So you don't have to visit them all individually. So it's quite a good site to go for. And the other one, if you want a quicker read, I'd go to rents.com, because what Jeff does is he gets articles and he will write his headline to that article for the link. And so if you really want to just, he says this on his show, just read the titles of the articles down that central column, and that'll give you an idea. And he does that for a reason. So you can have a quick read without actually going into them. But I find I want to go into some of them. But censored.news, Natural News, Wednesday, March the 9th, as we're recording this, headline, proposed law in Maryland would allow mothers to kill their babies up to 28 days after birth. Senate Bill 669, also called the Pregnant Persons Freedom Act of 2022, provisions that a newborn baby can be left to die for up to a month after being born in the event that the mother decides she no longer wants to keep it. Okay? So they're actually saying over there in that state they want to pass a law where a mother can not just kill her baby before it's born, but afterwards. And that would be absolutely fine. And then they tell us about how evil it is that Russia are doing things to babies, which I'm very sceptical about in the first place, because so many people have said in the, you know, it goes back to World War One, you know, the evil Germans were tossing babies in the air and catching them on their bayonets and all this. These people in the media are just born liars, okay? The mainstream media is an absolute cesspit, and the stench of it is really vile. And I just hope that they've bitten off more than they can chew. They've been lying to people. They've even stopped with COVID, was when they stopped having two people with two different opinions on a news discussion program in the mainstream. No, we can't have that, because we can only have people get the one view, the view that we want them to have. And it pains me when I see there was some guy in Ireland and he reversed his truck into the gates of the Russian embassy to break the gates in Ireland. And what a good guy he is and all this. And the trouble is this guy is probably just someone off the street who believes this garbage in the media and then goes and does that. And then I saw on the walls of the embassy, and this was a beautiful building, you could tell, and it was all covered in red paint. They've obviously thrown all that over it. And it's just like a mob. And sometimes you wonder if it really is worth doing what we do, Scorpio, in the independent media. You know, I have a great love and respect for the audience that are here, but how many of there are there of us? And do we really want to help idiots like that out? You know, are we putting our necks on the line for people that are that retarded, that just believe everything their mainstream media tells them? Sometimes I wonder if it's really even worth it. What are your thoughts on that, Scorpio?
Well, I understand the sentiment, but Andy, I really do think we're having a much bigger impact than we think. I really do. And I see that just when I go out and about and just talk to people. You know, I'm the kind of person, I'll just start talking to a complete stranger when I'm in the store or just out and about. And I always try to, you know, I'm always sort of trying to pick people's brains and see where they are and sort of open a door up and see if the other person is willing to walk through it. And I have never seen a period of time as I do now where the average normie, I think it's just a good term for just an unawakened person, you know, really has a sense they're being played more than ever. They may not have any idea of what's really going on, but I just feel like, or I see from talking to people, your average person really is starting to question things more than they ever have. So I do think that we're at a very good time to reach people because it's becoming clear with this COVID thing that something wasn't right. A lot of people are must be resentful too that took the vaccine, thinking that, whoa, I better do this, or you know, this is going to go on for a really long time, and all of a sudden now it's just dropped. It's completely over with, or at least for now. I do think it could come back if they need it. But Andy, I really do think, and I know it's easy to get down and a little cynical. I have those moments myself, but I really do see that the average person is starting to question the reality, what's going on. And I'm just actually quite impressed by just talking to average people that they think, they're really starting to see they're being played by the media. So I think the trust in the media is at an all-time low. And yes, you've got a certain percentage of people that no matter what happens, they're mindlessly just going to go along with what they're told. That's absolutely true. I don't know what that percentage is, but I do think every day that percentage drops and a new person starts to go, hey, what is really going on here? And they start their journey of trying to figure out what's going on. And the only place you're going to find that is certainly not going to be in the mainstream media. It has to be, as you call, the independent media, which I like, because I don't like the term conservative, because what are the conservatives conserving? I don't see, you know, it just seems to me that conservatives are sort of the slow route to the New World Order, whereas the liberals are the fast route. So I like the independent media term very much, because unfortunately I think, you know, the whole idea that we have this conservative parties and the conservative media, I think it's a fallacy. But I do think we need to conserve the traditions of humanity. You know, our ancestors were a lot smarter than we've been taught, and so the way that they did things, there was good reason for it. But unfortunately, I think most of these conservatives are bigger phonies than the liberals in a lot of ways. They're more deceitful. At least the liberals are telling you what they're doing, whereas the conservatives hem and haw and pretend to not want to go along with it, but they always do in the end, don't they?
Yeah, indeed. And we've got a few minutes left, so I'm just going to ask your opinion, if you have to sort of, you know, you're at a table, roulette table or whatever, you're going to put your chips in, black or red, however it works. But, you know, so black is World War III and red is no World War III. So what do you think the prospects are, if you had to make that sort of decision now, of the likelihood of this leading to a World War III?
Well, I think it's pretty high, to be honest. But the thing is, you know, they have to convince enough people to want to go along with it. That's the problem. It's just like with everything, they have to do all their actions based on deception, because they need our own participation to make things happen. So I think the big wild card now is whether or not China's going to make a move on Taiwan. If they do that, then yes, we're in World War III literally overnight. But I think they're doing all they can to get World War III started, Andy. They really are, with this move of Poland donating all their old airplanes to Ukraine for some reason, and then those planes are being flown to Germany, and then they're being flown out of Germany into Ukraine. Now we have two countries getting involved in this, when Putin already said, don't get involved, you're going to regret it. And frankly, you know, I think we should just let the two of them work it out and see what happens. And then suddenly there's not a big problem anymore. But Andy, I do think we're at a very dangerous time here. And if you, as you say, put on your, you know, tinfoil hat, this really has to be bigger than COVID, or they wouldn't have dropped COVID so quickly. So even if they don't go into a World War III scenario, what they are able to do, what they're doing already, is they're restricting the supply chain. And they're going to cause great inflation that will wipe out much of the middle class silently. And, you know, the beauty is, from their point of view, well, it's, hey, this is nothing we could do about it. You know, we have to stop the evil Russians. My God, we can't let the you know, any more babies be born in the subway station in Ukraine. So Andy, I think we're in a very, very dangerous time. And even if a full war doesn't break out, just by doing sort of, you know, behind the scene manipulation, we're going to see our economy transformed. I think that's the big takeaway here, because they're already restricting gas and oil with 25% of the world's supply. And of course, that's all going to go to China. This is going to push Russia and China closer together, which is, of course, is a colossal mistake. It's incredibly stupid. But that's what they want. They want to get all the pieces on the chessboard, all the sides sort of, lined up, ready to fight. And so this could easily go into a much, much larger conflict. And I just think they just have to get the emotion ginned up high enough to make people think that there's a reason that we should be fighting when there really isn't.
Yeah, I think that you're right. It's a case of watch this space, folks. But, getting the prepping and all that we've talked about, that is so important. You know, many of you have got stuff in, but you can never get enough. I know people that have been prepping for years and they're a lot more serious than me. I mean, sometimes you're limited. I've got a 500 square foot apartment. I don't want boxes all around me. I want to live in some sort of comfort. But getting what you can afford, what you can store, different things like that. And before we go, we're recording this on the Wednesday, broadcasting on the Friday. Are you scheduled to be on the event on Wednesday this week, Scorpio, or not?
Yes, but Giuseppe will not be there. It'll be just Jim and myself.
Right. So what I don't want to confuse people. So what Scorpio is going to tell us now is who he had on the event this Wednesday, which is after we're recording this, but before we broadcast it to you. So you'll be able to use the links in the show post to get the event show from this week. So who are you scheduled to have on?
Unfortunately, you know, I don't know. Jim Fetzer kind of gets the guess.
I've been out of town.
I just got back into town. So I'm going to have to inquire about that after I'm done with you. So I'm not exactly sure, unfortunately. Sorry about that.
That's okay. No, not a problem. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I just go there anyway. I go to Revolution Radio. That's where I generally get it. And the event is the one that you find under the Wisdom Circle, isn't it? In the archives, I believe.
Yes, and we merged the Jim Fetcher Show and the Wisdom Circle together to make the event.
Yeah, so folks, don't look for the event in the list of the archives in Revolution Radio. Look for the Wisdom Circle and then download the most recent show, which will be from Wednesday. Do you know who you've got on your Operation Scorpio this weekend? I understand Maleficus is back on with Giuseppe on the Perfect Triangle on Friday. How about Operation Scorpio on Saturday?
Well, yes, for hour number two, I'm going to have Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson, who is, you know, quite a scholar in all things Russian, and we're going to get his take on that, because obviously he's a very pro-Putin and knows quite a bit about the background of what's really going on here. And then hour three are going to have Russ Winter, the proprietor of Winter Watch, the website, and you know, he lives over there in Slovakia, and so we'll see what his take is. He's closer to the action than we are, and we'll see how things are being covered there. So that ought to be an interesting set of guests coming up this coming Saturday.
It will. Funnily enough, I've got Matt Johnson coming up with me. I'll be recording him Tuesday next week, broadcasting him Wednesday. I generally ask him what he wants to talk about, but I think that we're going to know by then, pretty much. Yeah. We know already, don't we? So yeah, and Russ Winter, I've had him on before. Nice guy, good publication, Winter Watch, and he's always a good guest as well. You know, I've heard him on the event before with you and Giuseppe and Dr. Fetzer. So yeah, that'll be worth listening to. Certainly I'll be downloading those shows and looking forward to listening to them over the weekend. So anything you'd like to say before we go, Scorpio?
Well, Andy, I think what might happen here is we might have what appears to be a World War III, but isn't really a World War III. That's another possibility. I don't know that they want to damage the real estate like they did before. I think the big play here is the economy and transforming the economy and forcing us onto a new Green Deal kind of system, which, of course, will not work unless the population is greatly reduced. So I think those are the two things that are really going to be going on, regardless if we have a real World War III or what appears to be a World War III. We're going to see the transformation of economies and going on to a new Green Deal kind of system, which, unfortunately, all the technology behind it is fraudulent, and it only works if the population is much, much smaller.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Scorpio. And folks, check the show post, all the links of how to listen live, the different platforms, and how to download the archives are in there, and the times of all the shows are in there. And just to prepare you for Monday's show, the Lime Is, as you know, I generally try and play a little clip in the show intro segment in between the late, great Rick Adams disclaimer and the opening music. And the one on Monday is going to be quite long. It's about 5 minutes, so don't think I've gone a bit mad, although you might think I have playing a segment that long in the show intro segment. That was lined up for this Monday, but then the clip that we played on today's show, you know, talking about Nathaniel Rothschild saying this, that and the other, that we, you know, we can't verify one way or the other, I got that from Hooley, and so I put that in at the last minute because it seemed more relevant. But that being said, I want to thank Scorpio so much for co-hosting The Perfect Operation with me this Friday. You've been listening to a show called Goodbye COVID, Hello World War 3. I want to thank all of you for listening. It's the weekend tomorrow, so have a wonderful weekend. I'll be back with you all on Monday. And until then, folks, bye for now.